Mrs. Riley looked emotionally at Ignatius for agreement, but was treated only to a sneering mustache.
Ain't that something? So you know what I done, Ignatius? I give her a quarter, and I says, "Here, darling, go buy you a trinket for your little grandchildren."
What? Ignatius exploded. So that is where our profits are going. While I'm almost reduced to begging on the streets, you are flinging our money away at frauds. That woman's clothing is all a ruse. She has a wonderful, lucrative location at that cemetery. Doubtlessly, she makes 10 times more than I do.
Ignatius, she's all broke down, Mrs. Riley said sadly.
I wish you was as brave as she is.
I see. Now I'm being compared to a degenerate old female fraud. Worse, I am losing in the comparison. My own mother daring to malign me so.
Ignatius thrust a paw onto the oilcloth.
Well, I have had enough of this. I'm going into the parlor to watch the Yogi Bear program. Between wine breaks, please bring me a snack of some sort. My valve is screaming for appeasement.
Shut up over there!
Miss Annie screamed through her shutters as Ignatius gathered his smock about him and swept into the hall, contemplating his most important problem, organizing a new assault against the Minx's effrontery. The civil rights assault had failed because of defections in the ranks. There must be other assaults which could be launched in the fields of politics and sex, preferably politics. The strategy deserved his full attention. Lana Lee was on a bar stool, her legs crossed in tan suede trousers, her muscular buttocks pinning the stool to the floor and commanding it to support her in perfectly vertical form. When she moved slightly, the great muscles of her nether cheeks rippled to life to prevent the stool from leaning and tottering even an inch. The muscles rippled around the cushion of the stool and grabbed it, holding it erect. Long years of practice and usage had made her rump an unusually versatile and dexterous thing. Her body had always amazed her. She had received it free of charge, yet she had never bought anything that had helped her as much as that body had. At these rare moments when Lana Lee grew sentimental or even religious, she thanked God for his goodness in forming a body that was also a friend. She repaid the gift by giving it magnificent care, expert service, and maintenance that was given with the emotionless precision of a mechanic. Today was Darlene's first dress rehearsal. A few minutes earlier, Darlene had arrived with a large dress box and disappeared backstage. Lana looked at Darlene's gadget on the stage. A carpenter had made a stand that looked like a hat rack, but instead of hooks, there were large rings attached to the top of the stand, and 3 rings on chains hung from the top at different heights. What Lana had seen of the act so far was not promising, but Darlene said that the costuming would transform the performance into a thing of beauty. Lana couldn't complain. All things considered, she was glad that she had let Darlene and Jones talk her into permitting Darlene to perform.